Dear God, what an awesome mystery and wonder of your coming to earth as a tiny, helpless infant. May news of that historic occasion find contemporary meaning in our hearts, that you might renew our hearts and our minds and not be conformed to this world and its trappings, but look to you because you have given us the greatest gift of all, Jesus, and we praise you for that. Amen.
Amen.
Now, before you sit down, I know you're just about to say you can't wait to sit down. I am going to ask you to do something that maybe a little unusual for Anglicans to do. But I want us to listen again to those words that the angels sang. The angels filled the sky with glory to God. Now, if you'll indulge me, we're going to say glory to God. But we're going to do it in a chorus-type fashion. I'm going to ask this side to say glory to God. And on this side, you are going to say in the highest. Glory to God. In the highest. Okay, you know your parts?
Yeah. I hope so.
This isn't a competition, but it just might be. So you know what your part is. So we'll start off quietly. Are you ready? Glory to God in the highest. Ready?
Glory to God.
Lovely.
In the highest.
Glory to God.
In the highest.
Glory to God.
In the highest.
Glory to God.
In the highest.
Amen. Sit down. You can sit down now. Give yourselves a hand. Glory to God in the highest. We need to celebrate this. It's great to, I mean, I love the choir. I love that we're going to do an anthem in a minute. My wife and I are singing with the choir for the first time. We're going to give it a try. And we're grateful to the choir to let us to come and sing with you. But we need to, we're part of the chorus. We're part of the heavenly chorus. And have you come from Reno, Nevada? You have come from Reno, Nevada. I see these folks here who I've known from Bowmanville, but they've come from Reno. Thank you for being with us today, tonight. Anybody here who's come from a distance? Anyone want to? Yes, where have you come from?
New Brunswick.
Wonderful. Thank you. Welcome. Anyone else? Nova Scotia. Hooray.
Curtis.
Nunavut, I think you win. That's awesome. Nunavut, I can't even spell it. We're in Nunavut. Are you in Iqaluit or? Cambridge Bay. Does it have an Inuit name? Again? Wow, isn't that fantastic? Aren't you glad you came to church tonight? This awesome. Revelation of God in Jesus and in Jesus, God's people here with us tonight. And we're from Bowmanville. You know, having 30 or 40 or 50 kids up here and we're reenacting the Luke story you just heard, and I had them, you know, pretending to be Caesar and pretending to be, you know, had all the parts up here. I asked the adults afterwards, and I'll ask you the same question. Is Christmas just for kids?
Nine.
You wouldn't be here, probably, so you know the answer to that. But if you've heard the story before, and I don't imagine there's too many people here tonight who haven't heard the story before, how does it still resonate with some fresh meaning for now? Right? How does it still grab your sense of wonder about, we light the candle again. Let me tell you a couple stories. First story happened in the parish of Halliburton when I was serving there as the priest, and there were three churches I was looking after, and I would drive between the services. There were four services on a Sunday, and I was driving around Halliburton County, which is north of Peterborough. Started in Halliburton and go to Wilberforce and then end up at West Guildford. Well, on Christmas Eve when we did that, Christmas Eve service in West Guildford, the little village on a lake, a beautiful setting with the snow coming down, I was celebrating communion and preaching and so on, as you can imagine, the midnight service, 11:30 at night. When who comes in, dressed in red and white and black boots and jingly, jingly, jingle with a big white beard? I kid you not. Santa Claus arrived. I didn't actually see him come in. My wife Dawn doesn't remember seeing him come in. But he came up to receive communion. Santa Claus was kneeling at the Lord's table to receive communion. Now, for the person administering the chalice, it was a bit difficult trying to find his mouth among all the beard. Maybe that doesn't stir too much wonder in you, or maybe it does. But I just find it's appropriate that Santa Claus would kneel at the altar. And he left, and we didn't get to, I still don't know who it was. It was Santa Claus, of course. Next story. Again, in the parish of Haliburton, we had heard that there's a neighbor across the street from the house where we live, next door to the St. George's Church, that the woman who was basically raising her two daughters on her own, her husband was away in the States working, and he had difficulty keeping work and sending money home, and she was looking after the two girls, and there wasn't a lot of money, and so they're behind 2 months on their rent. They needed $1,000. It was Christmas Eve, and we didn't know what to do. So we prayed, and anyway, the door to the garage of our house was open. We didn't really lock our houses in those days. I don't know. The garage door was open, and someone came knocking on the door to the back of the rectory, and I opened the door, and there was a man there I didn't recognize, a stranger, who handed me an envelope, a white unmarked envelope, thick with bills, thick with cash in it. Guess how much money was in the envelope? You're right. I immediately took it across the street to our neighbors, and I gave it to the lady. And she embraced me. I got to get the hugs. I got the thanks, but it wasn't me. We hear these stories, and sometimes, you know, there's so many things going on. The fires in California, there's devastating things, and we hear these things that are called acts of God, which seem so negative. And the God that Jesus revealed is not like that. If you want to really know who God is, get to know Jesus. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus say? How did he treat young people? How did he treat women? Especially the woman at the well. Do you know the story? John chapter 4, the woman at the well, she's there at noontime by herself. Do you know why she's there by herself? Because she's ostracized by the other women who normally go and get their washing and cooking water at the beginning of the day, but she's excluded from them. I won't get into the whole story, but if you want a fascinating encounter of liberal thinking, if you will, progressive thinking, read the story of the woman at the well with Jesus in John chapter 4. Fascinating how he accepts her as a person, doesn't look at her appearance, doesn't even care about the fact that she's living with a man who's not her husband, and she's had five husbands, none of whom she was married to, but she still doesn't feel judged by that. He understands her heart and her brokenness, and the fact that she is drawn to his understanding of God the Father's grace and goodness. Goodness as seen in Jesus. So we're celebrating this Jesus who broke down barriers and allowed us to have a glimpse of the invisible and mysterious God. So if Christmas has lost a little bit of its wonder, you're here tonight because you know it's not just for kids. That's good. Then where does it take you beyond tonight? Where does that wonder or that thought that Christmas is more than just for kids, where does it take you beyond tonight? Do you live out that faith beyond Christmas Eve? Listen to this statement. Religion is us searching for God. And we have all these so-called trappings. I don't know if they're trappings. I think it's part of the tradition and institution of the church, and some of those things are helpful, and they provide order and form for us, so we're not chaotic. But you saw me do the glory to God in the highest, and you participated in that. So that was something that's not written in the prayer book. I hope the bishop doesn't mind that we're doing something, you know, different. But so if that's the kind of thing we're doing in a worship service, what are we doing out in the world? If religion is not going to satisfy us because it's us searching for God and we're never getting there, the gospel that you just heard, the gospel is God searching for us. Do you know what Emmanuel means? Emmanuel. Anybody tell me? What does Emmanuel mean? Sorry? God with us. Great. God with us. Right? Light the candle, God with us. My question to you is, what about us with God? Us with God. Are we with God? Are we ashamed of God? Do we think of God? Is God a part of our daily existence, part of our daily walk? We talk about walking the talk, talking the walk. I don't know what your morning routine is like. If I asked you what you do in the morning, every day, get up and whatever. I get up and fill in the blank. Shower, shave, walk the dog, whatever it is. Turn the radio on, listen to my, look at my phone, look at my, oh, how many messages or whatever. How much of that is good news? Hopefully when you look at your face, you're not thinking too many negative thoughts about yourself. Or maybe you do, I don't know. I got to do stuff with my face. Mary is looked upon by the angel as what? What does the angel call her? Do you know what the angel says about Mary? That's right, she's favored, she's blessed. Do you know how God looks at you? You are favored. Now you might say, well, Mary is unique. I mean, I'm not burying the Son of God. Aha, but are you? That's the question. If you have been baptized in Christ, you actually do bear Christ within you. So you are the favored one. Ooh. Maybe some light will go on in terms of our sense of our own worth and our own relationship. So that's what this is, moving toward what it means to be in a relationship with God in Christ. Mary felt that way, and I trust that we do too, or we at least might consider what it means for us. My wife's favorite movie, I don't think we've watched it yet, Diane, but is It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart. Have you seen that one? Great movie. He has this great character and the family life and what goes on and his wife and the kids. And then, of course, what spurs the story is the question, what if I never existed? Interesting premise, right? What if I never existed? So he throws himself off the bridge, right? It's Christmas, whatever it is. And the angel rescues him, or he's rescuing the angel Clarence or whatever. It's this impression I have in my mind of one of these scenes in the movie where, I don't know if it's his brother getting off the train and that he's married and he realizes that he's going to be in the town because the brother's going to be going away to another job because he got married. And if you've never seen the movie, this is probably a bit strained, but just picture this actor's face when he realizes every fiber of his being, he wants to get out of that darn little town. And he realizes with horror that he's trapped and he can't get out. Do you remember that scene? He's in the train station. I can't get out. I'm stuck with my father's business in this small town, and I can't stand it. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know if you have some feeling of being trapped or living as a result of circumstances that are beyond your control, that are difficult for you to live through, maybe because you have made some choices or because other things have happened to you because of a childhood situation or a teenage situation or because of your present life circumstances or tragedy has come into your life, a car wreck. Maybe the plumbing's not working at home. I don't know what it is. whatever you bear, whatever feeling of trappedness you feel, if God is indeed with us, and we are saying, this is about us with God, the stuff of our everyday, the thing that we want to do as a routine of our everyday is we're going to grow in this thing because we are bear Christ within us. We already bear him because he lives in us by faith. Then if we're going to grow in this relationship with God beyond tonight, then we need to feed it. We need to feed the positive, feed the mind, to renew your mind. Don't just listen to the things out there in the world. Listen to the treasures of what Mary is pondering in her heart. Listen to those treasures. Where are they found? Where are those treasures found? If you're not reading the Bible, I can't come to your breakfast table and read with you. Well, I could if you invited me. But maybe you read in the bathroom, I'm not going there. Whatever, where... How are you going to feed the spirit of the Christ who is living within you if you don't take some initiative? And if you do, praise God. Glory to God in the highest because you are taking that step. We are the most educated bunch of people. We have this amazing device in our hands, and what do we do with it? And what do we do with the Bible? What do we do with the treasures that have lasted for years? And this isn't meant to be a chastisement, but encouragement for us to feed the positive, to feed the baby who is within us. Because there is some, let's face it, some Anglicans are quite frankly biblically challenged or maybe even illiterate. We don't know, where does this Titus guy we just read about, or Isaiah, and this, who are these people? It is possible for us to take little steps at a time to know a little bit more. And so my challenge to you, beyond just that little prayer that we're going to give you, is to say, will you? You've got a busy day. I don't know what your morning or your noon is like, but I bet you you've got a Bible or a New Testament somewhere, or you've got a Bible app on your phone like I do, and you can press the Bible readings. Look these same Bible readings up if you don't know what they are. Feed the positive. Feed your soul. Do something worthwhile with that brain that God is trying to renew if you would only allow him to do that. One of the greatest scientists who's ever lived in our contemporary era, his name is Dr. Francis Collins. Anybody know him? Dr. Francis Collins. A few hands. Thank you. He was a lead researcher on the genome research project. Every one of us has DNA, and inside the DNA, there are tiny little aspects of that DNA called genomes. There are many millions and millions and millions. And this group of scientists were able to track down and identify each of these genomes. He led that project. The book he wrote as a result of that was called, you can look it up, The Language of God. The Language of God. He saw in the minuteness of the human being the amazing properties of who God is. He's a practicing Christian man, Dr. Francis Collins. You've heard of Nelson Mandela, one of the great leaders of South Africa, to lead the charge against apartheid in the racist policies in South Africa. Even, anybody watch The Crown, Netflix series, The Crown, ever heard of that? Yeah, some of you. Netflix has got more and more of these series coming out. Anyway, I know that's probably an older person's thing, so just bear with me. Because it was from, you know, some time ago in the Second World War and so on. I think fifth episode of the second series, she talks about her faith in a fictionalized way in the Crown TV show. But when you listen to her Christmas message, she's bearing witness to her faith in Christ. This leader of, she's supposed to be the leader of the church, but she's, if you listen to what she has to say, and in her duties, religious duties, and how she conducts her life, she's not perfect. But we have these people who are on a great level. But on a everyday level, what we have in common is not the fact that there's these great people who are living their life or the preacher who's talking about it and struggling to learn and to live my life as a faithful follower of Christ. We're ordinary people, and we can do extraordinary things when we take even a small step of faith that Mary demonstrates for us. You wouldn't be here tonight if there wasn't something going on of a nature, of a faith nature. My job is to fan it into flame. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to fan it into flame. Fan it into flame. And I'm only one person. But together, when we pray, when we feed the positive, when we feed who God is, that Christ child who lives within us, I can see great things happening. because you were willing to say, let it be with me according to God's will. I'm about done. But if some of the wonder's been squeezed out of you, let me just make a suggestion. That when you come up for communion, if you're planning to come up to the altar rail today, and David will be celebrating here in a minute, I'm grateful for him being here and for Warren, the faithful people, Lonnie. I just think of these people I'm getting to know, their faithfulness of the people who are here. It's a real testament to me the faithfulness of the people here at Christ Church. When you come up for communion, if you've never come up for communion before, or if you haven't come for a long time, or if something's stirring in you that words alone don't speak to, the act of coming forward and receiving this ordinary piece of bread and a little sip of wine, what Christians who have the sacrament as part of our teaching say, that the ordinary is made extraordinary when we give it to God. So the suggestion is that as you come forward, that you are taking that step of faith in Jesus, not just as a religious act, not just as a duty, but responding to the wonder of who he is by receiving him afresh in your body. Having been strengthened in that sacramental moment, may you go from strength to strength in feeding your soul with the treasures Mary pondered. Amen. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Please this man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. I'd love to see the wonder in you, the incarnate wonder of who you are, the favored one of who you are. I love to see that unleashed, unlocked, and made alive. Wouldn't you? To see the wonder unleashed and unlocked and made alive. Men, women, and young people who are here. That's my hope and my dream as we build a company of disciples. Thanks be to God.